All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, continue our series. We're going right through the book of Matthew 10 and looking at this from the standpoint of pioneering, the master's class on pioneering. So I want to get some verses, if I could. Brian, read Matthew 10, 16. Zach, Matthew 10, 16, the second time. I got some others here. Robert, John 16, 12. Vince, 1 Corinthians 3, 2. That'll be all for now. So, if you were in a war zone, and there was a landmine right in front of you, which is better, to go around it or to step on it and set it off? If this is a struggle for you. In this scripture, Jesus gives an approach we can apply this to pioneering, but in many different aspects of life, is talking about wisdom, dealing with situations, dealing with people wisely, and he uses two pictures out of life, that is serpents and doves. So let's read Matthew 10, 16.
Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Okay. Let's talk about the reality of opposition. Anytime you minister for God, you're going to discover that there is opposition. It's in this scripture. It talks about sheep in the midst of wolves. Obviously, a wolf is not in favor of the sheep. And so you're going to discover this is in many different areas. You're going to have outside opposition. And you try to do a work for God, you're going to discover there are people in authority, people on councils, even police, different issues that they will oppose you in different ways. They don't want you to witness. They don't want you to use a park or different things. So you have outside opposition. This is would be perhaps these are sinners, we would say in general terms. You have religious people. Religious people will, sometimes they will get you into conversation, and the point of the conversation is they are trying to trap you, and you read that about Jesus, that they're waiting for him to say one wrong word so that they could use it against them, or against him, and you'll discover that's what religious people often are looking for, is their... They're not wanting to flow with the program. They're wanting to fight in some way and force their will. And then, of course, in dealing with new converts will ask you all kinds of questions simply out of their situation, out of their things that are emotional to them, that mean a lot to them. And so... In all of these, in this opposition, what Jesus is painting a picture of is some people have no ability to maneuver around. Knowing that a council officer, knowing that a religious person, knowing that a new convert, that in this instance, if I step on that now, it's going to blow up. The problem is some people have no ability to maneuver. They can't get around that. They step on it every time, and they cause this. Some guys, they view all of life as a fight, and this is because of ego. Is if anybody, you know, I've been witnessing with people, and someone will reject in the slightest their witness, and they can't stand that. Yeah, well, hell's hot, pal. They can't let it go. Or in general, anybody who causes the slightest bit of opposition, they want to get into a huge conflict. And in their mind, a foolish man views everything as standing for what's right. Bless God, you got to stand for righteousness, brother. And so therefore, they get in a fight with everybody. And if you ask them afterwards, like, why would you do that? Why would you upset them? Is their reasoning is, I had to tell the truth. You just got to tell the truth, brother. That's how they view it. And so the difficulty is you make opposition that will always be there. You can make it worse. So you have people that they may oppose you. Let's say it's a council officer or police or different thing. They may come because of a rule, because of a complaint, and that's why they're speaking to you. But if you're not careful, you can make this personally offensive to where now you've ticked them off. You've wounded their ego, and so it becomes a much larger problem. It becomes personal. And now they are determined to get you. Some guys, they get into open conflicts before it's time. Right? What is it Ecclesiastes tells us is there's a time of peace and a time of war. You don't have to go to war every day. Every waking moment is not a fight. So there's a time, and that's true. You have situations in life that this needs to be dealt with, but not now. And you have to learn this. So if you don't, it's not time to get in a conflict, but you know, whether that's in front of other people, whether that is just where the person is at the time. And then, of course, is if you view this everything as a conflict and you can't maneuver, the problem is you damage people's ability to hear. In Jesus, when they came to arrest him, Peter grabbed a sword, assuming that it was time to fight. And what did he do? He slices off Malchus' ear. That's very profound. This is what foolish men do, is they damage other people's ability or willingness to hear, right? And so this is the difficulty, is that you have guys that they blow people away by, in their mind, I'm just telling the truth. They're jamming every foolish word that someone says. But the difficulty is they cause that person will never listen to them again. No more hearing. And so this guy goes away feeling like, man, I did my job. You know, there are guys, they go on outreach, and in their mind, outreach, the success of outreach is how many people they told off. How many people they told were going to fry. Or how many people got upset with them. That's a strange spirit. We had in one of our churches years ago, you had guys that to the point of they would go out and it was a success if they could get people so mad that they would physically attack them. And they took that as a, personally, I'm doubting things about them. I think guys who like that, perhaps they bat for the other team. But anyway, that's another issue. Okay, so let's talk about being wise as serpents. So Jesus gives a wiser option, knowing that there's going to be opposition in everything you do. He gives a better option. Matthew 10:16.
I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves.
As shrewd as snakes. I like that. Wise as serpents, it says in the King James, New King James. So, here's opposition. It's always going to be there. So he says, what you need to be is like a snake. Now, some folks, this is not a character issue. Some folks, they do that very well. This is not talking about character. All it's talking about is the ability to maneuver. the nature of a serpent. A serpent would rather go around, rather go away, than it's only if they really feel threatened will they then strike. So this is the point, Jesus says. It's always better to try to get around trouble. Okay? Wise. When he says, be wise as serpents, the word wise literally means rein in or curb. So, what are we reining in? He says, instead, what you should do is rein in your pride. Someone says something foolish, and what you feel like doing, listen, pal, let me tell you what I think of you. He says, rein that in. That's wise. Rein in your impulses. Some folks, their natural inclination is with their mouth. They can come back with a cutting barb. He says, rein that in. So, when facing opposition, Jesus says, overall, you should maneuver wisely or with restraint. So, that think about all the different areas. That's wisdom in outreach. Number one, so you have to be wise about this. So when we do outreaches, part of this has to do with as simple as asking permission. There are places and times it's better to not ask permission because you know the situation, you're likely to get away with it. Asking permission may be lengthy and you'd be unable to do it. On the other hand, there are places, if you don't ask permission, all you're going to do is irritate them to where it causes you further problems. So he says, maneuver. You got to be wise about this. When facing opposition with authorities, some folks, they're naturally rebellious by nature. Some people, they've had run-ins with the law. So police show up because of a complaint, and their natural inclination is to fight, you know, fight the pigs. That's what we're going to do here, man, because by golly, we're going to stand for righteousness. So to rail on somebody, you know, sometimes police are sent, they're doing their job. And so I've seen guys, instead, they're going to make it personally offensive and attacking, too. So maneuvering is in various ways, you know, you're always wise to be polite to policemen. You know, they're telling you that this is causing a problem. So, you know, I was unaware of that. Are you aware that somebody, I think Jesse Morales just had an outreach last week and somebody made complaints and the police chief called him. Because on social media they're saying he's doing terrible things. And so I suggested that he call the guy back and let him know we train our people to not be offensive. So we'll look into that. I don't think that's true because he was claiming, you know, that someone with a, you know, pinned somebody with their truck so they could witness to him. I really doubt that. But, you know, acknowledging, we'll look into that. Our job is we're trying to help, not hurt. So that's a way of approaching it instead of just simply fighting. So then, of course, opposition in the church, as you do have in the church, is you will have often religious people, sometimes rebellious people. They have to be dealt with. They're causing problems. And so in being wise as serpents is timing and location. Timing and location. That is a very, very important issue. The story that I have told many, many times is when I first pioneered, we had all converts, one religious family. And then I had this guy, he began to oppose after he thought, like most churches, once he helped us remodel the building that we got into and he was helpful, he figured he owned us because he was putting in some decent money and began to openly oppose what I was teaching in a Bible study. So this is the first time I've ever dealt with this. You know, my inclination is to fight. That's, I want to go after this guy. So I called Pastor Mitchell, asked him, he said, yep, it's time, the guy needs to go. So I said, right, Wednesday night, I'm going to tell him. And he said, don't be foolish, don't do it at church. And he said, if you do it at church, think of what will happen. he will shout and make a big scene in front of everybody. That's the first thing that'll happen. Number two, his wife will cry, and all the ladies will feel sorry for her. And then you will cause a bigger problem. So I said, what should I do? He said, do you know where he works? I said, yeah. And he said, why don't you go to his job and talk to him there? Okay. I knew where he worked. I was waiting for him, waited by his car when he got off work. He got off at 4:30, whatever it was. And when he walked up, had a simple conversation. It's clear we're going different directions. And I know you don't want to hurt these converts, and so you should find another church. Don't ever come back to the Potter's house again. Have a nice day. Like, oh. It was done, and by doing it that way, it was 2 weeks before anybody even was like, hey, where's that couple? So if I had not been followed my pastor's advice and been wise as serpents, I would have had a huge commotion. And probably my new converts would have been distressed about that. As it was, we moved on. It wasn't a problem. Mm-hmm. I have told that story to other guys. I had a guy that he had somebody at the church that was being rebellious and describing all the problems that he was doing. And so he said, I'll talk to him tomorrow, Sunday morning, at church, before church starts. And I said, don't be foolish. I told him that story. I said, listen. Go, you know where he lives? Go to his house right now. Get this done right now. Do not let him come to church. It was so clear that he was rebellious. I said, get it done away from other people. But he didn't listen to me. Next morning, sure enough, comes to church. He talks to the guy. The guy blows up. The guy was the drummer. And while everybody's watching, he goes up and grabs his drums and starts taking all the equipment out while his wife is crying, while he is saying bad things about the church and about the pastor. And the guy lost pretty much the whole church. Had to wind up closing down. Okay, so that's a classic example. You can be wise as serpent, or you can step on the landmine. See how you go. Final thought is being harmless as doves. Harmless. Now here's a different dimension. Some conversations you're going to have with people, they are difficult because what you're talking about is emotional, it is painful, it's upsetting. And so this would be true in, let's say, new converts, for instance. They may ask you questions that the answer is going to be very offensive to them. Okay, so you're gonna have people that, you know, my grandmother, my mother, you know, they died. They just got saved, so they died. I don't know if they were a Christian. Are they in hell? There's a landmine. That's very emotional. There are some people, they feel that, by golly, we got to tell the truth. That's right. They're frying right now. You got to tell the truth, bro. And or it has to do with, you have people, they have all kinds of, they have families that are homosexuals, transgender. What do you think about that? Are they going to hell? Absolutely, that's an abomination. They're going to fry. God's going to judge them. So those are things that are emotional. So Jesus says now, wise as serpent is the maneuvering, harmless as doves has a couple of issues here. So this is the issue of timing. You have to recognize this. You may have someone, they have actually asked you, but if you're sensitive, you know they're not ready to hear what you have to say. Simply because it's asked doesn't mean that they're ready for the answer. That's why, as a pastor, I think Keith and I were laughing about this the other day, that I go and I have pastors ask me, if you see anything in the church, just let me know. Well, I don't pay any attention to that, because I learned that some people ask me that question. They're not ready for the answer. So, but this is really true, is some people are not ready. John 16:12.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
Okay, here's Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Some people, I got to tell the truth, brother. Wouldn't you think that the one who is the truth, if that was his approach. But he says, I have things to say. You can't handle it right now. You're not ready for it, so I'm not going to say it. That's not compromising. That's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:2.
I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able.
Okay, here's now the Apostle Paul. He says, I dealt with you on a certain level because there were things I couldn't say to you. You weren't ready for them. Well, it wasn't time. And so that is a timing issue. So, harmless as doves, making sure you don't cause a problem. And then you could add in there, wise as serpents. That's the maneuvering part. A snake chooses the time to strike. And so then, as I said, you may be asked questions. When I pioneered, you know, the classic story I tell of this is one of my first convert ladies. She brought her brother. He got saved. He struggled. He had been an alcoholic. The family were alcoholics. They were a mess. And so he had gotten saved, and God was really doing something in his heart. He was genuinely saved, but he came over to visit me on a Sunday afternoon, and I could tell the moment I opened the door, he's agitated. He's on edge. He's upset. And so he's, I want to talk to you. So I knew that this wasn't we weren't going to talk about football, clearly. And so he says, I want to know. He says, if I drink alcohol, he goes, I'm still struggling with alcohol. He said, if I drink alcohol, does that mean I'm going to go to hell? So, you know, of course, the answer is yes. But I could tell he wasn't ready for that answer that day. So I can tell him the truth. And what he actually was doing was he was wanting an excuse to go away. So here it is. He wants me to say, that's right, Michael, you're gonna burn in hell if you keep drinking alcohol. And so I simply made a choice there. I said, you know what? God's a big God. When it's time for you to stop drinking, I'm confident that God will let you know that. He can speak to you. So why don't you just keep coming and let God help you? And then when God's ready, he can tell you. And so that kind of diffused him. He was ready to fight with me. But I maneuvered around him. I gave him the soft answer. And he kept coming, and at a later time, God did speak to him, and then he was able to quit drinking. Okay, so that's an important lesson that you can learn. And of course, there are things that we can't let go, you know, sexual sin and various things. But you're dealing with converts; you're going to deal with all of their habits. So, the point of that story, and I don't want you to go away and say, Pastor Greg says it's okay to drink. Okay? But if you will let God deal with people, God is good at it. It's not your job to sort out all their habits. Okay? That's a lesson. It's not your job to sort out every person's habits in life. Then the other thing, not only is there timing, but it is how you say something. Some guys, the way that they say it is, it's brutal. So Jesus says, harmless as doves. So Jesus is not advocating lying. Someone is grandma burning hell. Oh, absolutely not. No, she's in hell. I can hear her right now singing with the angels. That's lying, right? So I have people who say, what about this person? What about that person who committed suicide? What about, you know, so-and-so that died? And I don't know if they were a Christian and whatever. So I have chosen to say is that I'm not the judge in eternity. Why don't we leave that one with God? All I know is God loves people, and we'll leave that with him. Okay, so that's a softer answer to get around so that God can deal with them in other areas. And so some people, the reason why Jesus has to teach this is some people do not have that ability. They would view that as compromising. You should have told her, brother, that's right. Your grandma's frying right now. And so the issue that why Jesus says this is, what is best for that person? My new convert, Michael, I chose what was best for him. He desperately needed to come and keep coming. For him, he wasn't ready that day. He was ready to fight and quit serving God. That's the point. You choose what is best for the person. Therefore, you choose to be harmless as doves. Okay? So, and that, and then I just would throw in there that in this is that you pray for wisdom. You don't speak to every single person in exactly the same way. Right? There are religious people that I'm blunt with. I'm not trying to mess with them. I'm not trying to finesse them. Now, if they're already in the church and they've made relationships, I'll have to maneuver a little better. You know, there are people that they're rebellious and divisive, and a straight answer is the best option. But Jesus is saying, if you'll keep this in mind, maneuvering, not offending, is the best option for the people overall. Okay. That'll open some questions. You have something you want to ask?
Mm-hmm. So with the timing and location, with the advent of social media and texting and stuff like that, do you think that's an issue as well? You know, people being so connected via social media, is that something to consider as well?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, that's... I will say this, in this world, you should assume that you're being recorded. Always. You know, wind up on YouTube, right? Right, so I would say in public play, that's people's natural instinct, is they want some kind of conflict, they want to put this on social media. So, I mean, if you're having a big, you're mouthing people out in a park, out in an outreach, you probably should assume that will get on social media, yeah. So, I mean, on the one hand, we can't prevent it. You know, we have people there. That was the point Jesse was making, is two people called and made a complaint, but then the police chief was saying 47 people on the social media were then adding in their stories. So, I mean, that's human nature. I can't deal with that. So we have to assume that God is bigger than social media. Otherwise, we're all dead.
is the issue with dealing with people in church, is that similar to the parable that Jesus tells about the tares? So if you pull out the tares, do we go with it, kind of a thing?
Yeah, similar. I mean, obviously, he's talking about the end of the world and all kinds of things. But yeah, it's the same thing. It doesn't make sense to damage innocent people while dealing with someone who's a devil. That's the point. That's the whole point of the parable. So the application is the end of the world. That's not what we're... So he's saying let some things go. But the same principle applies. There are things you can't let go. You know, you can't let a pedophile. You can't let someone who's a devil doing damage. You can't let that go till the end of the world. But the point is you should try to limit the damage they can do to other people. Yeah. So how you do that is the way. And I guess that you throw in this is that when he says being wise or reigning in, a part of this has to do with pride. Is it's always better to get people to go peacefully, right? Let's say that their offense or their spirit or whatever it is, they really shouldn't come here anymore. Anytime you deal with someone like that, it's very likely they'll say stupid things to you and be offensive. So you can get a big fight because this guy's ticking you off. It's always better to get rid of them peacefully or peaceably. That's a better plan. So, you know, early days of ministry, I would have it out with them. I'd tell them what I thought of them, but it's far better to, you know, there are people who's like, you know, you're not happy here. Are you? You disagree with everything I say. You don't like me. So I don't want to make you unhappy. Maybe it would be better for you to go somewhere where you're happy. I don't have to paint you as the Antichrist if you want to do that. You want to go away peacefully? Then no problem. That works better. Damn you, devil. Ladies and gentlemen, a suck egg dog is about to leave the church. Somebody else. Casey.
Is there any case where you would want to have someone with you while dealing with conflict, either a man or a woman?
Yeah, number one, I don't, if we're talking about in an office, I don't counsel women alone, period, right. Ever. I always have someone there. That's just wisdom. And for the main reason is that a witness is a good thing. They can't claim you said something you didn't say. So women, I don't ever speak to alone, out of public eyes. That's number one. Then number two, there are situations where there are people that are violent. Yeah, I definitely, sure. I get, probably not a tiny little guy either. I got a big dude. We want to talk to you. Yeah, sure. And then sometimes that's an issue of adding weight as well. This is a serious issue in speaking, so I might have another pastor there.
Is this wisdom in regards to location or like dealing with opposition in a city? Is that kind of something you can stock up on, or do you kind of wait till that moment? I mean, like, I know it can vary. You know, I think of Pastor Mitchell when there was opposition in the courthouse area, and he ended up fighting that.
Yeah,
as opposed to not fighting, but
well, kind of. yeah. So there, you have number one, in a small town, you have no other options. If they shut you down in the courthouse plaza, there are, you know, we at that time there were no other public gathering areas, so there are no options. Now, on the other hand, I pastored in the city of Melbourne that was nearly 4 million people, and so we had a huge area. And so I had a council officer. He was the, I think they call him the code enforcement officer, which was not building codes, but you know, parking, anything. And so we had there a mall in Australia is not an indoor mall like Gateway. It's cobblestone street or brick paver street. But it's a public street because it's public. It's actually a street. Mm-hmm. They can't keep you off it. Mm-hmm. So you'd have, every once in a while, you get an officer, he decides, by golly, he doesn't want us to witness there. So he would start. So, but we had a huge area. My strategy was, let's delay the day when we have to fight this guy. So he would come in that area. Well, there were tons of other areas that we could witness in. So we chose for a time to, okay, no problem. And we just went up to another area, went around the corner, and witnessed and carried on. So because you have other options, but then there comes a time where nope, we are fighting here, and we'll take you to court, and you know,
and all so those kinds of things. How did you decide that as far as what to do? Did you pray about it?
Yeah, it's prayer, it's sensing it, you know, advice, all kinds of things. Part of it is a simple matter, money. Never get into a legal fight if you don't have money. Lawyers are stinking expensive. You know, last time I checked, our lawyer, it was $400 an hour. So you don't want to be rushing in to something that you can't afford to fight. So sometimes, you know, there are other ways to get around that. But yeah. So, but in small towns, you sometimes have no option. It has to be a fight. Straight away. And then of course there are some people, they are reasonable. You have a guy, he's out of control, you can go higher and you can explain that there will be a lawsuit. And higher ups understand that and they don't want that. So they can control the guy down below. So there's different ways to there's a lot of different ways you can approach that. Somebody else?
religious people, is there a way to practically just avoid, especially if you're sensing certain things off them, how do you keep them from setting their roots in with your new converts that you're dealing with?
Well, the first thing is I'm not enthusiastic over religious people. Okay, someone like you got to appreciate people come in varying categories. You have people there, yeah, you know, they're Presbyterian, but they're, you know, in America we use the term Jack, right? They're Jack Mormon, Jack Presbyterian, Jack Baptist, meaning they're not really. They go every once in a while. That's a totally different kettle of fish. But you have people that they drip religion. So people who drip religion, I am coolly polite. I am not enthusiastic. You have to understand. You have to understand how religious people, this is how it works. They get tired of their church, they go to a new church, and they are used to people falling all over them. Because here is somebody who has money, they're a body, or they have talent, and so they are used to people just fussing over the, oh, wonderful, you're wonderful. And so one of the simple things is, you know, I'm not rude to people. You know, they come in, like, you know. You. But in the first place, I'm just coolly polite, you know. Oh, good, nice. And they get it's like, wait a minute, he's not fussing over me. I'm used to being fussed over, right? You're not offering me anything. You know, and then, and as I say, in extreme cases, if they're immediately, you know, Benny Hinn is my favorite. So, something like that. Every people is like, I can't stand Benny Hinn. He's a false prophet. I don't like him at all. So, you know, I mean, I've done that. And then there are people that I have, they've raved on about, we're looking for a new church and blah, blah, blah. And there are people, I've just looked them in the eye and said, I don't think you're going to like it here. I don't think you're going to enjoy it. Or they're really spiritual. That doesn't bear witness of my spirit.
Church down the street, right?
Yeah. There's ways you can do that and give them the message. So that's yeah, it's definitely better to prevent. Yeah, it's definitely better to prevent. And so, yeah. So then if they keep coming, you can work that out over time, but. But in a lot of different ways, if you let them know in ministry, nah, you come here these 6 months, we care more about who you are than what you can do. So if you come here, we don't give people ministry, minimum 6 months. That's a deal breaker for a lot of people. Yeah, so those are things you can do to deal with. I'm not a fan of religious people. Many, many, many problems I've seen guys have in churches are because of religious people that they allowed in. In South Africa, I had a gut full of religious people to last me a lifetime. Not a fan. Somebody else?
I have a question. I guess it's more of a, did I do the right thing? We were at the fair, mm-hmm. and there was a group of girls that came up, and one of them was like a guy, and it had a boy's name. And while I was witnessing to him, they were desperately trying to get me to tell them that you're definitely going to hell, like right now, for being homosexual. On and on. And on. Like, we're all sinners. I just kept on saying it over and over.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, yes, you're going to hell. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's fine. Nate?
Yeah, so would you say that avoiding conflict is ego as well, or I mean, like the guy who said you didn't do what you said to do, or what would?
Yeah, he was weak. Mm-hmm. He was weak, and the whole thought in his mind of showing up at somebody's house was rude. Mm-hmm. He couldn't deal with that. And I told him, I said, "You're gonna regret it. I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing it." I said, "You'll regret it. If you do this at church, you'll regret it. Don't do this." So he was weak, you know. As he told me, he said, "I really like preaching. I don't enjoy pastoring because it involves conflict." And he's not pastoring today because that just doesn't work. He's actually not in our fellowship anymore. But yeah. So I am, and again, this has nothing to do with not dealing with things because you're afraid. So if you're not dealing with something because you're scared, that's not right. So you do things, you know, that's part of the learning process. You get good at it. But you get good at it by, you know, you're very nervous, but it just has to be done. And you learn to do it better. I would do it better today than I would at the beginning. So, yeah. So anyway, weakness, that was the issue. He didn't like conflict, so he didn't want to do it at the guy's house, which was the problem with people who don't want to deal with stuff. They actually make it worse. He could have had the guy think he was rude at his house and saved the church. It didn't help him, right? So he did it at church, blew up, the guy, church is gone, doesn't exist today. So. Thinking.
I was on outreach a while ago, and there was a place that I distinctly remember we were told not to come back to the outreach. We had a bunch of people tell us to never come back, the manager and everything. Then, you know, I think the door director switch off happened and everything, and we didn't know we weren't supposed to go there again. We went, and I was like, hey, I don't think we're supposed to go here to just a couple people that were with me, and they were like, oh, you know, it's okay, we were told not to come here, but one of them made the statement, would you rather get in trouble with the people that own this place or be in trouble with God for not coming here? And I just kind of laughed and was like, all right, you know, it's not, you know, I don't have any control, like, to do this. And sure enough, we got kicked out again and got yelled at and everything. How do you decipher, like, if it's just some random person saying, throwing a fit, don't come back, you don't witness, but they're not in charge at all, or someone who's actually, like, can get you in trouble with, like, legal issues and everything, like...
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, anytime you're witnessing in, like, for instance, indoor malls or any building that's owned by somebody else, they do have the legal right to stop you. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean that we never do it, but you just have to be wiser with it. So handing out flyers is not, if you're ever doing it in a mall, in a university, something, an enclosed building that's owned by somebody, that is generally not a track passing, a flyer passing mm-hmm. option. That's witnessing. That's a witnessing option. When I was back in Jacksonville, almost every single guy who testified, of the pastors who testified, they all testified their greatest harvest field is Walmart. Going indoors at Walmart, that's where they witness and they get their best option. Well, clearly that's not going to work by passing out flyers, yeah. Can't even come. It's in striking up conversation with people.
Okay. So it's just kind of certain places more one-on-one, certain places just kind of decide. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of a rule of thumb for anything that's private. If it's privately held, they can keep you off.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that we don't try.
Okay.
And then, of course, then there are times where you got to let things cool down for a while. You got mm-hmm. somebody that really ticked off at you, probably next Saturday is not a good time to go back. Because you find that, you know, either... management changes, right? Mm-hmm. The guy, people who are in charge, they won't be there forever. Whether that's natural attrition or whether God moves them on. Whether you pray that God moves them on. Mm-hmm. We don't pray that God kills them, right? No, we don't do that.
So, based on everything that you talked about, in our fellowship, we're highly militant.
Uh-huh.
But the strategy isn't to go out and just destroy everything.
No.
The question he asked about, you know, how do we decide that? You know, it's going and asking, like you asked your dad.
Yeah.
Hey, what should I do?
Yeah.
And your dad says he has all this experience already built up.
Yep.
He knows what. Go to his job. He's not going to freak out in front of everybody that works with him. You know, he's talking about seeing going into different places to witness, deciding what type of witnessing you're going to do is all a strategy. And the end game is to win souls. So, if you think of it in that way, and I my pride is ridiculous, you know, so I have to put that in check constantly. But that's basically what we as men want to do. We want to fight. So if you look at it as a battle, as a strategy,
yep.
God will help you.
Yep. Definitely. So that's the character of the person. That's the issue. And asking advice. It never would have occurred to me when I asked my dad, it never occurred to me that there was any other option. That was like shocking news to me, right? So that's wisdom. That's what, and then I teach guys that, I teach pioneers, that's why you should stay in contact when you go out, because if you're dealing with things you've never dealt with before, you build up a file. You know, I deal with things here that are exactly like I dealt with in Australia, South Africa, but you got to build up a file. And so there are things where I didn't know it, so then I asked advice. This, oh, here's a new one, I didn't know it, so I asked advice, you know. But then the other things, they fall into, they're kind of the same. So you don't have to ask every single situation. But then the overall, Stephen, is the main thing I, you know, as you said, is that we have to deal with our own pride and humble ourselves. The other thing is that we have, my major prayer is for wisdom. I have a prayer list, and I start every day with numbers of scriptures that I pray over. God, you have got to give me wisdom. I need to know this. And part of this, because it's there's no app for some of this. I sense it. You feel it. Whereas it's not written on a list. If they say this, you say that. You know, you sense it, and you pray for wisdom. And you've got to be open to wisdom as well. Yeah.
You're good.
Vince?
Is that one of the reasons that when pastors, it's almost like they're putting them in charge of a bigger church kind of thing? Is that why that the time is, okay, you've learned this now, you've pastored
people, yeah.
Now you're ready for
what
that is?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's, you know, number one, there are things that you just couldn't handle in the beginning. It wouldn't be helpful. And then two, the other thing is that you got to look at the guy's track record. You see how he deals with things. You know, that's the key. If he's blowing, if you hear the sound of landmine, probably he's not going to be a good fit in a bigger church, right? All he will do is set off bigger landmines. Cause more people with pitchforks come after him.
Very good.
All right.